Begin the current daf, Masechet Zavod Zara, daf Vav. Begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the opening Mishnah of our Masechta, talking about Avodah Zarah, that we said, Lefnei Eidehin, before their holidays, their pagan holidays, it's forbidden to do business with them and other things 3 days before. So the Gemara asks a fundamental question in this halacha. Ibailu. Shleisha Yamim, this that we said, that 3 days before the holidays, forbidden to do business with them, Hein Ve'eidehin, is the number three, including the holiday itself, which essentially comes out to be 2 days before, and the holiday is what's forbidden. Or maybe no, the three that we spoke about that's forbidden before the holiday is them, that's excluding the holiday itself, which makes a sum total of 4 days. How many days is forbidden? Four or three? Is it the 2 days before and the holiday? That's what the number three is? Or is it including or excluding the holiday? Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah later on. The next daf in Zayin Mabez, says Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, he says that actually the halacha that's forbidding the business with the idolaters on their pagan holidays is Shleisha Lefneim v'Shleisha L'Achreim. It's not like just like what our Mishnah said 3 days before. He says it's 3 days before and 3 days after. And that is going to be Aser. Says the Gemara, Isa G'day Dechein Ve'edehen, if you thought to say that when we say three is forbidden, it's not 3 days before. It's starting from before, but it's including the holiday itself. So then Rabbi Shmuel, Yoimei Dehin Chashav Lehu Meikar. He already counted the holiday itself from the initial count of what's 3 days before. V'chashav L'Bisayif, and then he counts it at the end. If you're saying the number 3 days before doesn't mean before, it means including the holiday, how do you say 3 days after if it's the same amount before and after, which is essentially 2 days before? So it's only 2 days after. So we understand when you say 3 days before means with the holiday, but how do you say 3 days after, including the holiday in that number, if it's already included in the numbers before? Obviously, it's that it's, besides the holiday itself, it's 3 days before and 3 days after. So the Gemara, no raya. I did the Tana Shleish Lefneim, once we mentioned the number three from beforehand, but yeah, that includes the holiday itself, Tana Nami Shleish Lachreim, so it also said that same number of uniformity of 3 days after, even though you're right, it's really only two. It's just that when we said the holiday including the numbers beforehand, so we also say the number three afterwards, and then includes the holiday with it, but it's really only 2 days before and 2 days afterwards. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's try to bring a different raya. Damrav Tachlifi Bar Avdimi Amar Shmuel, he said that Yom Aleph, those idolaters that have this holiday of the Sunday, L'divri Bishmol, according to the opinion of Bishmol, who we just quoted him from the Mishnah, the next daf, that he says that the prohibitions are before and after the holidays, L'oylam Asr, it will always be forbidden to ever do business with those idolaters, to do business with them, because you have to count 3 days before Sunday, you have to count 3 days after Sunday, that's the entire week, so you can never do business with them. Says the Gemara, if you would entertain to say that the prohibition of doing business with them, when we say 3 days before, or like Rabbi Shmuel, 3 days after, really means only 2 days before and 2 days after, because the number three includes the holiday itself. So what do you mean? You have Wednesdays and Thursdays that's permitted to do business with them, because it's only 2 days before Sunday and 2 days after Sunday. Sunday's their holiday, but that leaves open Wednesday and Thursday. Rashi Gemara responds, the question was not according to Rabbi Shmuel, because as we prove from Shmuel's halacha, as that according Rabbi Shmuel holds hein b'lo yedehin, and that's why he said according to his opinion, in those who serve their pagan on the Sundays, so that's going to be forbidden the whole week. Because he holds hein b'lo yedehin, but that, as we said, the hein b'lo yedehin, he holds it's the 3 days besides the holiday itself. Says the Gemara, Kikam Ibayli, when did I ask the question? I'll leave it to Rabban. According to those who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, what's the halacha? Do they say that it's forbidden the 3 days before? And actually, as the previous Gemara's question also seemed to indicate, Rabbi Shmuel, who's saying 3 days before, 3 days after, we said, so we had a Deichig Teretz by saying, okay, it really means two, it's just saying three to keep the uniformity of before. But that's what the Gemara's answering. No, you're right. As we prove from Shmuel's halacha, the 3 days of before and after according to Rabbi Shmuel is besides the holiday. Our question is, those the Chacham who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, like the Tana of our Mishnah, who says only 3 days before, is that including the holiday or not? So Amar Avinu says, let's bring a raya Toshma from a Mishnah on Daf Ches and Aleph. Mishnah says, Ve'elu hein eidehin shel Ebdi Kachom. These are the different holidays of the idolaters. They're Kalanda, and the Girsa is Satar Nura, Ukratesim. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, Amrav Chan Barav, he explains, what are these pagan holidays? Kalanda is Ches Yamim Achar Tekufa. It's 8 days after the winter solstice, which is these four different Tekufas that the year is split up into, four seasons. And after the 8 days right after the winter solstice is this holiday of Kalanda. What's Sertuna Raya? That's Shmeinu Yom Lefnei Tekufa. That's 8 days before the Tekufas Tevis, this winter solstice. And Visamanaich and a mnemonic to recall this halacha, that don't say that the first holiday of Kalanda is what you would think chronologically in that order is the 8 days before the solstice and Sertanaya is the 8 days after. No, it's actually like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, which is talking about a different context, but as a mnemonic, is Ocher V'Kedem Sartani. That he says to Hashem, back and front you form me. But what it's saying is that it first says in the Pasuk, the back. So to the Mishnah, the holiday that's after the solstice is what's mentioned first, and then the 8 days that comes before, as we'll explain there, why that was, because that was actually the first holiday, which is where the pagan holiday comes from. That's the one that comes first. But be that as it may, says the Gemara, if you're entertained to say that when our Mishnah mentions the 3 days that's prohibited, it includes the holiday with it. Meaning, when we're saying 3 days, it's really two with the holiday. So when we're counting the prohibition, we're counting the holiday with it. Then why are we saying it's only 3 days? Asara hava. What do you mean? It should be 10 days. Because since you're saying that the holiday itself, as we're saying in the Mishnah of Ches, is 8 days, and you're saying that when we count three, it's really only two days before, but in counting the holiday two, well then it's 10. 2 plus 8, not 2 plus 1. Obviously the 3 days is besides the holiday. And then holiday, however long it is, it could be 8 days, whatever how long it is, but we're talking only before. So it's like, well, no. Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Kule Kalanda, the whole holiday of Kalanda, which is 8 days, he only counts him as one, meaning because he's counting that as a unit of one, however long it is, but that's counted as one, including the 2 days before. That's why we say it as three. But it's no Raya, it could be it's Hein Ve'edehen. So Amar Vashi, he says, Toshima, let's bring a Raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lefnei Eden Shlevdi Kechav Mishleish Yam. Those were the wordings of our opening Mishnah. Before the holidays of the idol worshippers, it's prohibited to do business with them for 3 days. Says Ravashi, now if you're entertained to say, like the Gemara is entertaining, that it's not 3 days before, it's the days before with the holiday that makes a total of three. So then the Mishnah should have said the words, the holidays of the idol worshippers that's prohibited to do business with them is for 3 days. Which that would have sounded like when it reaches the days of their holidays, it's going to be a prohibition of 3 days. Why does it say lifnei? It sounds like that we're talking about 3 days that's even before the holiday itself, which is b'loy edehen. Says the Gemara, v'chitem, if you're going to say no. Haidikton lifnei edehen, this that says before, it's not to say before. It's really including the holiday with it. It only says before l'mu'ute l'achre edehen, because coming to exclude after the holiday, because had you just said it the way we described it, we wouldn't know that these 2 extra days besides the holiday, when it is. Is it before the holiday or is it after the holiday? That's why it says before to exclude after. But then says the Gemara, listen, idim shalebdi kechavim gimel yom lefneim. The wording should have been, the holidays of the idol worshippers that's forbidden for 3 days is before the holiday that's prohibited, which that would have sounded like that the town of Amishtah is coming to tell you regarding their holidays. Ella. Rather, from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention the holiday at all, it only says lifnei edehen, and if it even just wanted to say before and not after, we should have said it the way we just described it a moment ago, saying the prohibition is 3 days, and that's lifneihem. Shema mina, that obviously we could infer that all the three things that our Mishnah, that the number three that our Mishnah said was going on before the holiday. And the holiday itself, we obviously would infer by Kal V'chomer that for sure that's going to be forbidden. So obviously, Hein B'lo Yedehin Shema Menah, obviously we could infer from the wording of our Mishnah that the prohibition of 3 days before the holiday is before the holiday. And of course, the holiday itself is forbidden to do business with them, but it's not with the holiday, it's besides the holiday. Now, Ibai Lord, the following question. This that the Mishnah says is forbidden to do business with them 3 days before and of course on the holiday. Mishum harvacha, is it because of the monetary gain that the idol worshiper will have from the business transaction? And he'll be so thankful and he'll go give thanks to his idol, which that will cause the Jew to violate what it says in Shmei Chav Gimel, le'yishama al-picha. You shouldn't cause an idol worshiper to go and praise his deity. Is that the prohibition? Or is it because of a concern of violating what it says in the Yikra that in front of a blind person you shouldn't put a stumbling block, which means to say also that one cannot cause another one to sin, because if he's going to sell an animal to the idol worshiper, who's going to then sacrifice it to his deity, now, B'nai Noach, non-Jews, are prohibited. It's one of the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, as the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, that an idol worshiper, a non-Jew, is not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, and the Jew is going to be causing him to violate it by selling him an animal. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara says in the beginning of the Masechet that Amad Vehetiron, that actually the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach Hashem didn't require of them, that is as not the case, as the Gemara says over there, because if the Jew's causing the non-Jew to sin by doing Avodah Zarah, they're going to end up having judgment for not having fulfilled the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. It's just that they're not going to get reward for fulfilling it. So therefore, that would be a violation of living the evil. They said, Mikshel, that's the question. What's the fundamental principle of this Isser of doing business with them 3 days before? So the Gemara says, L'may nafkim, what's the halachic relevancy? What's the difference? So the Gemara, the Isli Behema L'diday. If the idol worshiper has another animal besides this one that he's buying from the Jew now 3 days before, and even if the Jew would not sell him an animal, he would go and serve the animal by sacrificing the animal that he has himself. If you say the reason for the prohibition is because of the monetary gain, so he's going to be making money on this transaction, notwithstanding that he has another animal, and therefore would be forbidden. But if you say it's because of causing another person to sin, so then there's not causing him to sin because he anyways had his own animal to sacrifice, and therefore wouldn't be forbidden. So that would be the relevancy regarding if he has his own animal, not if this would be forbidden. Now, on that as the Gemara, v'chi islay, what? You're telling me, but if the idol worshiper had his own animal, then the Jew who would be selling him another animal would not be violating the prohibition of causing him to sin because now he might take the Jew's animal and sacrifice it on for his deity, for his Avodah Zarah? But Retanu in the Braisa, Amram Nasan, he says, V'gitim tamid beiz, minayin, from where do we know, that a person should not stretch out a cup of wine to a nazir who's forbidden based on his vow of Naziris not to partake of wine, because if you're going to pass it to him, he might just come to drink it. And how do we know that one should not pass a limb that was pulled off from a living animal to give it to a non-Jew, which is forbidden to most, as the Pasuk says in Bereishis Tes? How do we know that it's forbidden? That's supposed to teach him a yikra, but lift the evil seat in Mishlam. In front of a blind person, you should not put a stumbling block. Now, says the Gemara of Ahocha, in this case, the chilo yivinle, if this person wouldn't give to the Nazir the cup of wine, or give to this non-Jew the piece of Evim Menachai, shakli yihu, he would take it himself. And yet still the Braisa tells us, V'ka'ovim mishum lifnei the evil isita mikshol, that you should not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So you see that you do violate it, even though they had the option themselves. So why are you saying that if the non-Jew had the animal, that would be the difference if it's because of our vocha of lifnei the evil, because you wouldn't violate lifnei the evil because he has his own animal? Still, you're causing a stumbling block by giving him another opportunity, as we see when he could have gotten the cup of wine himself. And still, when you pass it to him and he then goes ahead and drinks it, you're considered violating lifnei the evil. So why would it help that he has his own animal? Says Gemara, no, the premise that we said is correct. One does not violate lifnei iver if the person could have done it himself. Halacha ma'iskin, what are we talking about over here in this braisa that it would be problematic if he'd passed a cup of wine to the nazir or the iver melachai to the ben noach? Is the koi betray ivna hara, that there are two different sides of the river. The idol worshiper is on this side and the Jew is on the other side, where if he wouldn't give him the iver melachai, he wouldn't be able to take it by himself. And says the Gemara, Deka Nami Diktani, a precise reading of the Braisa seems to indicate that, because the words are lo yoshit, that he should not stretch out like the cup of wine to the nazir. But like Diktani lo yitin, it doesn't say that he shouldn't give it to him. Shema Mino, what we could infer from there is that he couldn't have reached it on his own. Therefore, he would violate lifnei iver. But if he could have gotten on his own, like in the case that we described, where the non-Jew would have his own animal, then that would not be a violation of selling him another animal for lifnei iver l'sita mikshel, of him then using that to sacrifice to his Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara doesn't answer the question, what was the fundamental principle? Now, Ibai Lu, that to follow another question. Nasa v'nasa. Let's say the Jew did do business with the idol worshiper 3 days before his holiday. Mai, what's halacha now? What could he derive benefit from that transaction, from that gain that he had by doing business with the non-Jew 3 days before his holiday? So Rabbi Yechon Amar, Nasav Nasan Asav, if someone did do business, it is forbidden to have benefit from that merchandise, from that transaction. Rish Lakish Amar, Nasav Nasan Mute, he says, no, if you did do, although it's forbidden, it is permitted to benefit from that gain. Now, Esav Rabbi Yechiel Rish Lakish asked Rish Lakish from the following brisa. The brisa says, a day in Shal Ebedu Kachavim, the holidays of the idol worshippers, Nasav Nasav Nasur, and if you do business with them, it's forbidden. Says Rabbi Yechiel, my love lefnei Eden. Isn't it talking about, as the, one of the basic halachas, as we open up our Mishnah, meaning even before the holiday, it is forbidden. Says Rish Lakish, loy, a day in Dafka. This that's prohibiting benefit from that transaction is on the holiday itself. 3 days before, although that's forbidden, it would be permitted by the Eved. Ikidami, those that say that the question and answer was the opposite. He asked him from the same Bryce, it says, a day in Shal Ebedu Kachavim, the holidays of the idol worshippers, Nasav Nasav Asr, if they do business, it's forbidden. Sounds like a day in, the prohibition of benefit is only on the holiday itself. Lefnei Eden Loi, but if before it would not be, which is like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yechiel. Which Rabbi Yechiel answers, no, the Tana of the Brisa, idehin karle. He calls both the holiday itself and the days before as the category of their holidays, and therefore it's even beforehand that would be forbidden to have benefit. But the Gemara concludes, Tanik of Asay Rish Lakish, Rabbi Brisa that supports and says like Rish Lakish. The Brisa says, first it says a different halacha. It says, Kisha amru asa losses v'los limon. When we said this halacha, that it's forbidden to do business dealings with the idol worshippers before their holidays, says the Brisa, they only made it forbidden something that would last until the holiday itself, where since it's going to be around and extant at the time of his holiday, he's going to be so thankful on the holiday that he has this object, and then he's going to go ahead and give thanks to his deity. But something that wouldn't last, let's say, like herbs, vegetables, things that wilt away and wouldn't last even to the holiday itself, then even in 3 days before, it's not forbidden to do business with him and sell that to him on his holiday. Now, concludes the Braisa, now even something that would last, which is forbidden, if you did do business dealings with him, then it's going to be permitted, which is like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yechiel. Now, related to the halacha, the first halacha of this Braisa, Tanur of Zvid b'debei Reb Oishia, he taught from this brises of the collection of Reb Oishia, who he also organized brises just like Reb Chiya did, that davar she'ein miskayim, something that does not last, so meichelhem, like we said, you could sell it to them because it's not going to last to their holiday, even though it's 3 days before. Aval ein loikhem, but you cannot buy those things from him, because to the contrary, by buying it from him, then he really gets a gain, because since it wouldn't last, he really desires to sell. Let me get this off my hands, it's going to rot and wilt on me, and then he actually is thankful, and he will give thanks to his deity on the holiday that is forbidden to buy from him in the 3 days before. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacham. Ahuminah, there was a certain heretic, the Shadale Dinara Kisrano Lebihud Nasir, who sent the newly minted dinarim, which the old ones, the Caesar had already voided and made a decree on that. And these were the new coins that were just minted, that just came out. And he sent this to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah B'yayim Idai on the day of his holiday. Now, Habiyas of Rish Lakish came here. Rish Lakish was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah when he got this newly minted coin from this heretic. Amar, he said, Hey Chiyavid, what should I do? Eshkele, if I take it from him, Azal Maida, he's going to go and give thanks to his deity that, oh, I gave this to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, this notable person, and I'm going to have been causing him to for this violation. Lo yashkali, if I don't take from him, havaliyev, it's going to cause enmity, it's going to cause hatred, and we've got to be careful of that. That's halacha too. So Amli Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, Tul uzroik eis lebar b'fonav, take the coin from him, throw it into a pit where it's going to just get totally lost in front of him, where you're not going to have benefit from it. Amar, so said Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, what do I mean, kolshkin havaliyev, for sure it's going to be hatred, he's going to see I threw the gift that he gave me into the pit. Said Rish Lakish, no, kalacha yadhu dekamina. What I meant to tell you was, in a backhanded way, let it look like it slipped out of your hand into the pit, that it shouldn't recognize that you threw it away, and once he saw that it was lost from you, he's not going to be happy, because he didn't end up giving you something, but he's not going to hate you, because it's going to look like a mistake. That way you're going to get out of the dilemma that's caused by him giving you this gift on the day of his holiday. Now the Mishnah continued and said that those things that are forbidden to do with the idol worshiper 3 days before its holiday was also not only just to do business, but it was lahashilon, to lend them, v'lishol mihen, and to borrow from them, chulu, etc. So the Gemara says, bishlam lahashilon, you understand why you can't lend to them, the komar v'chulu, because you're giving them surplus, you're giving a gain, you're lending them your lawnmower, you're giving them stuff, and he's going to be all thankful, I look at all the stuff I have, and he's going to thank his deity. Avalishman, but to borrow from them, miutukumamaitlu, you're actually diminishing from them. So why would that be problematic before his holiday? So Mabayabai says, you're right, it's gzeira lishlman atulashilam. It's a decree, we don't allow you to borrow from them because then you might come to lend to them, and lending is a problem. Whereas Ravam, he says, no, kulam mishum de azlam maidu, all because of the concern that he might go and thank his deity, because the idol worshiper is going to be glad that, look, the Jews need me. And even by borrowing from him, even though it's taking away from him, but it's still pride that he has, and that's going to cause him to give thanks to his idol, and therefore that's prohibited. So to the Mishnah continued, l'halvaisam, it's forbidden to lend them money, but l'halvaisam and then to borrow from them. So the Gemara asks here too, bishlam l'halvaisam, understand why it's forbidden to lend to them, b'shem dekamavachlu, you're giving him a gain, lending him $10,000, he's like, wow, and he thanks his deity. But to borrow from them, why is that a problem? If anything, you're diminishing money from him. So Abaye here to Abaye says, it's rabbinically decreed that you can't borrow from them because then you might come to lend to them. And that is the problem. Whereas here too, Rav Ami says, they're all because of a concern that he might go and thank his God with a lowercase g, which is, he's like, wow, look, I'm this wealthy guy, even Jews come to borrow money from thee, and he thanks his deity, that's a problem. So the Mishnah continued, another category, lepayron, it's forbidden to pay them back what's owed to them, and leflarim, and to collect from them, chulu, etc. So here to the Gemara asks, bishlam leparon, one said, why he can't pay them back, mishum dekomavachlu, he gets a gain. He's like, wow, he just paid me up this $500,000 that he borrowed from me, he's all excited, he has all this cash flow. But to collect from them, what do you mean? To Maitlu, you're taking away from them. Says the Gemara, Mabaya here too. He says, Gzeri lefreyman otu lefreyman. You're right. It's a decree not to collect from them because then you might come to pay them back. Whereas Ravam, he says, no, cool, Mashum to Ozla Maitlu, they're all because of the thanks that he's going to give, where the same thing is also over here, where by this collecting from him, he's also thankful, as we're going to explain shortly, which is the Machlikis in the Mishnah, he's also thankful that he got to pay up his debt to the Jew. And says the Gemara, Tzricha, and the Mishnah had to say all these cases. Why? Because the Itan, the loss of the lost man, if we say the first category, the Mishnah described what's forbidden to do with a non-Jew 3 days before his holiday, is business, Mishum dekomavachl, because he might have a gain in the transaction, but Azlamayda, so that's pretty an obvious case. He's going to be so thankful, and he's going to thank his deity. But we would have thought to say, but to borrow from him, demi'utikomaitlu, what you're taking, you're diminishing from him, shaper dummy, that would be okay. Oh, okay, so that's why we said that even to borrow it's forbidden. And we, Tanu Lishman, had we only said the case of borrowing from them. So then, as we said before, Mishum Nechashiva Le'milsa, because it's a distinguishment for him that, oh, the Jew has to borrow my Kalim, and he also knows he's going to get it back, because something that's borrowed is always there, it's always extant. So there he's going to go and give thanks to his God. Avalilvais Mehen, but to borrow money from them, Tzar Ba'almesle, it's just causing him pain. Because Amr, he says, Tov, Lohad Zuzi, I'm not going to get my money back. Alone, the money gets used up, it's going to be hard to collect. And therefore, he would not be thankful for that. So we have to say that even alone is forbidden. V'itan the Lilvis men, and had we said the case of borrowing from them, that's forbidden 3 days before, because, no, Mishum de Ka'om, Bal Karchi Mifran, because he tells himself, I'm going to make sure I get paid back from the Jew. And he's still thankful, because V'hashtami Azlamayda, now he's going to go and give thanks. Look, even the Jews need to come on to me and borrow my money. Avali parmehen, but to collect from them, which is the last category we spoke about, where the Sula Hadri Zuzi is never getting that money back. The Jew is collecting from him. Eimet Sara Islay, we would say that's pain to the idol worshiper, Veloy Ozl Maidan. That would for sure not be a case of him going to give thanks, and therefore maybe that would be permitted. Tzricha, we have to say that even in that case, there is an element of thanks that he would have to his deity, and even that forbidden to do 3 days before his holiday. Which, regarding this last point, we quote from the Mishnah that it's actually machloikis. That's what the Chacham say. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, nefroin mehen chulu. No, you could collect from the non-Jew. It's just causing him pain. There's no thanks he's going to give, in contrast to what the Chacham hold. Now, on that asks the Gemara, but lesser Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda not hold to the principle where's the Chacham coming from? Why is it considered something he's going to give thanks for when he has to pay up a debt? Is because afal pisha meitzer achshav, even though it's painful right now because you got to shell out money, but he rejoices at a later point in time. He's like, I took care of my debts. I paid up my student loan. I'm done with this already. So Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to that principle, and that's why he says it's permitted to collect from them because ultimately it's pain right now, and he can't see in the future that it's going to be something of joy, and therefore he's going to give thanks to his deity. But Vatanil in the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda does agree to that principle. So why does he say that you could collect from them? Because Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Isha lo tasud. A woman is not allowed to put lime on her face as a depilatory, which is what helps take off hair and give a shine to the face. She's not allowed to do that b'mayid on chol hamoed. Why? Because right now, when the cream is on her face, it makes her disgusting. So although when she's going to take it off, it's going to redden and shine and radiate her face, but since that pleasure is only going to be after the Yom Tov itself, and right now on the Yom Tov, it's a disgrace for her, so that's forbidden. That's not a malacha. That's not something that's permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. But, says the Braisa, Umayda Behuda, Behuda agrees, Besid Sheikhaila Lakafla, regarding a lime that could be peeled off and taken off from her face, even Bemayid, even on Chol HaMoed itself. For example, if let's say she starts doing this facial treatment in the beginning of the Chol HaMoed. So after a day or two, she's going to be able to take it off, and then she's going to have pleasure from it, where she's going to be walking around the last day of Chol HaMoed, and say, wow, you look beautiful. She's going to be able to do it on Yom Tov, where she tefalse Bemayid, because she had put it on. And she'd be able to take it, she put it on Yom Tov. So then, says Rabbi Yehuda, then he agrees that she could put it on Yom Tov. Why? Because even though now she's in pain, she's ugly now, if anything, with this funny cream, and it's not something that's beautifying, but later on in Yom Tov itself, it's going to be joy. So you see that even though something is painful now, but that joy is later on, it is considered a simcha, it letzarich simcha's Yom Tov, and therefore it's permitted even right now. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you cannot, that you could collect from the non-Jew because it's pain? Yeah, but it's a pain that brings joy later on, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's considered joy right now, so he is going to thank his deity, so why does he disagree with the Chachamim? So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, hanach lehilchas moed, leave alone the halachas of Yom Tov, of Chol HaMoed, can't bring a raya from there. Generally, he holds that if it's pain right now, it's pain, and therefore you could collect from him, and he's not going to give thanks. Because although it's joy later on, we don't see that far. In contrast, by the halachas of Chol HaMoed, the kulu, everything that was permitted to be done on Mayid, meitzer achshav, all of the cases are pain and effort right now at the moment. Like slaughtering, preparing meals, it was only permitted because there's simcha lachas man, of a joy later on that's going to be in the Mayid itself. So that believe those halachas, because all of those are simcha lachas man. And that was the dispensation that was given by the sages, interpretation of the law of what's permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. And conscious and regular, he holds, yeah, we don't see the simcha lachas man right now, and therefore it's permitted to collect from the non-Jew right now. Or Avinam, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, the difference is, oivit kechavma, non-Jew, in the parayin regarding collection, la'olam meitzer, is always in pain. Meaning, yeah, a Jewish woman will be able to see the joy later on. And generally people could. A non-Jew, an idolater, when he's being collected from, he doesn't have that ability to be able to see past into the future. He gets stuck in the moment, and for him it's pain, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds, although yeah, he does hold to the principle of seeing future joy right now, but regarding the idolater collecting from him, he doesn't see that well into the future, and it's painful for him, and therefore he's not going to give thanks, and therefore he disagrees with the Chum and says that you could collect from them within 3 days of their holiday.